deadline to make it to the new B1 formation going to close the 2024-2025 season. They are going to close. So now we have to make the goal from this season, but I don't know. Same time, business side of basketball growing so fast, and which is good. But I want to respect more basketball culture. But business side of basketball so successful now. But I don't think Japanese basketball culture growing that kind of fast.
Good evening, everybody, or depending where you are in the world, good morning or good afternoon. Welcome to Japan Forward's Twitter Spaces Sports Talk program. We have a live guest today for this conversation, Motofumi Iguchi, a Japanese basketball commentator who works covering the professional B-League all year, all around the year. Welcome to the show, Iguchi-san. How are you tonight?
Thank you very much, Edo-san. Thank you for having me tonight.
You know, it's been a while since we've talked officially about basketball. We've been in touch for many, many years, but I'm happy to see you working in this capacity of your career.
Yeah,
you know, thank you very much. Knowledge about the sport and your enthusiasm is very evident on the broadcasts.
What
would you say is your basic style of broadcasting, and what do you hope listeners learn when they hear you doing games and doing different TV shows?
Thank you. Yeah, I do the B-League basket driver broadcasting system regular season and playoff for as the basketball commentator. I think I did the 40 plus hour games as the B-League regular season game and Japan national team games.
Mm-hmm.
And regularly, I have the two or three B-League highlight game program online on TV. So weekday, I do the TV or online program. And Saturday, Sunday night, I go the game for a commentary job.
Are you mostly in Tokyo area, or are you traveling all around the country?
Yeah, I am from the Kagoshima, very south Japan. And now I do live in Tokyo Central, yeah.
Yeah, but for the games, are you traveling around Japan during the B-League season? Are you traveling to Tohoku, down to Okinawa, for example, down to Kyushu?
Mm-hmm. Mostly I do the commentary job on Toyama and Toyama Grouses and Utsunomiya Breaks. And sometimes the people invite me for the commentary job on Okinawa, for a season opener, sometimes the preseason game on Hokkaido, Rebanga, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Sounds like you're pretty busy most of the time, I would say.
Regular season, yes. Then off season, now we are going to having the national team games, which is the World Cup qualify and Asian Cup. Is coming to this end of this month, June to July.
Before we talk specifically about the B League and some of our main points of the conversation, I wanted to ask you to talk about your career path a little bit.
Yeah.
What basketball related jobs have you had in the past? Talk about your jobs, please, and also how those jobs helped you to prepare for being a commentator.
Okay. Yeah, I started play basketball when I was kids and junior high, high school, college, I keep play basketball. And I played Aichi Gakusen University, which is the coach Hamaguchi Hono was my assistant coach when I was college. And head coach was Shuji Ono, former national team head coach.
Right.
Now, in B-League, Ryota Sakurai for Rebanga, he's my team, a younger teammate. Morikawa from Yokohama, he's my same basketball college teammate. So I play pretty much a very deep basketball university. After I got ACL, so I couldn't keep playing basketball. So I decided to go to learn more basketball to the California.
You went to Bakersfield College, correct?
Yes.
Cal State Bakersfield, excuse me.
Bakersfield Community College.
Okay. And did you study sports business, or what did you learn there?
No, as you see, my English skill is not 100%. So, and I very, very love education. So I only got the English second language program. Then I mostly spend most of the time for basketball.
Okay. Did you make it to any NBA games during your couple of years there in California?
Yeah.
Did you go to the Lakers games or maybe the Clippers, Sacramento Kings?
Yeah, Bakersfield used to have a MBDL before start G League. Bakersfield Jam was there.
That's right.
And when I was there, there's no MBDL yet. There's a Long Beach Jam. ABL, SBA, something like that. And there's if you go Long Beach State, you can watch the Nike Real Run as the summary.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Those kind of stuff, I went there.
Okay. So a lot of the players that you saw, a lot of people don't know who they are, but the real hardcore fans or the scouts or the coaches, they know the players.
Yeah.
Okay.
After I came back from state, there's no professional basketball league yet, so I have to find a basketball job. There's no job for professional basketball. So I went to Saitama Broncos as the volunteer translator. That's okay. My first job.
Was that for 1 year?
During the season, yes. But I had to take, it was volunteer, so I have to make money to part-time job.
Yeah.
After Saitama, I went to Toyama, Shiga, Iwate, Osaka. Those are all BJ League, though.
Tell us a little bit about those jobs. What were some of the responsibilities you had with Toyama, with Shiga, with Iwate, with Osaka?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Toyama was the, I worked for them as the import player scout. So mm-hmm. I had a chance to recruit the Gerald Duard from Michigan 5. Nate James, now that he's in the Duke assistant coach, I think he's still doing.
Mm-hmm.
After Toyama, I moved to Shiga Lakers as the assistant general manager. Mm-hmm. I work for Coach Pierce. After Shiga, I moved Iwate as the general manager. I had a chance to work with the coach Oketani Dai.
Mm-hmm.
Jeffrey, Katsuhisa Jeffrey came, but I left before Jeffrey came. So after Iwate, I had a chance to work for Osaka Evese as the president and general manager. Before Osaka, I had too many experience to local city basketball operation, but never had a chance to big city. So mm-hmm. I wanted to take experience to a bigger city, how you make the professional basketball run in big city.
You know, all of these teams that you've been talking about, the Toyama Grouses, Shiga Lake Stars, Iwate mm-hmm. Big Bulls, and Osaka Evese, during your time with all of those teams, they were less than 10 years of existence. And, you know, even Toyama was starting its second season, I believe. Shiga, Shiga was an expansion team. Iwate was an expansion team. So you're helping to build the business and like the pro basketball operations, just the foundation. Mm-hmm. So I would think that's very difficult to, you know, but it's also, there's no rules that are in place for like the team's procedures.
Yeah.
It's kind of new style. You're helping to establish what people will do.
Because there is no job, Edo-san. There is no professional basketball job in Japan before. So that's why I decided to take the FIBA International Agent License. I went to Geneva to take the license. And when that time, there is the only Yuta Tabuse was the NBA, only one Japanese NBA player. So I thought if the next Tabuse Yuta come in, somebody need to take represent Japanese player to join the NBA. So I went to Geneva to get the license.
So tell us, how long did you study for the test? You know, like how many weeks or months? And then was it a one-day test, right?
Yeah, it wasn't too difficult examination. If you are involved in the basketball industry, it's not that difficult. But just nobody tried before.
Okay, so working as a import scout and a translator and assistant GM and a GM and a president and GM, how do those jobs help you?
Yeah,
as you work now as a commentator.
Yeah, now
you know the ins and outs of basketball operations. So mm-hmm. you have a different background than a lot of people working in broadcasting.
Yeah. Now I do the media job, but all the time I took the job because nobody do that job before. I always put myself, if somebody has to take that job, make Japan basketball business bigger. That's why I take the FIBA Asian license before. And at the Toyama, somebody has to do the scout for import player. There's mm-hmm. no such a people in Toyama before. So mm-hmm. I always put myself, somebody needs help.
Okay. Moto-san, when you think about the work of an international player scout, mm-hmm. and when you're working for a young team, you know, a very new team like the Toyama Grouses, mm-hmm. did you do all your work in Japan or were you traveling to tryouts in the United States? Please explain to our listeners about that.
Yeah. When that time, that's the
how you found players.
When that time, that's the 2007-2008 season. That's the very first Toyama Grouses season. There is no YouTube. So if you want to sign the import player, you have to go visit NBA Summer League, or you go visit a tryout. Mm-hmm. Or if you have to get the DVD by FedEx. There's no YouTube. Now you can watch the all player from everywhere by YouTube easily. Mm-hmm. But now, 2006, there is no YouTube. So you have to ask somebody to send the 20 players DVD, five player point guard, six player power forward, center, five, those kind of DVD I always receive from the state.
So you must have watched maybe like 100 player videos or maybe 1,000.
Yeah.
What do you think you watched? How many?
To sign the two or three player. BJ League has no limit for import player before. Yeah. If you want to sign three or four import player, you're probably going to watch the 70 to 80 DVD for sure.
Yeah, that's a lot. So talking about Japanese basketball evolution and changes in the sport, mm-hmm. what's different about Japanese pro basketball, men's basketball, in 2022 compared with 2002 and 2012?
Mm.
What are the biggest differences?
Now, the business side of basketball is improved very, very fast, growing so fast speed. there's, but basically there's the no such a things before Niigata RBX start the professional basketball team. So BJ League did a very, very good job to do some research. We can find out how much possibility we have that if Japan has the professional basketball league or not. So that's why now so many B League team, B1 teams actually has successful season recently.
Mm-hmm. When you mentioned the Niigata Albirex a moment ago, mm-hmm. you know, when the BJ League was established and the first season was 2005-2006, there were only six teams at the beginning of the BJ League. Mm-hmm. And the concept, which was different than the JBL, was to mm-hmm. have local ownership of a team. And the team is the ownership, not like a big corporation like Toyota, where mm-hmm. Toyota has a basketball division, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So we've seen the expansion of basketball to all over the country. And just a quick number for our listeners. This upcoming season, there'll be 24 teams in the B League First Division. Mm-hmm. And I want to say 14, excuse me, in the second division. Mm. So we're seeing a lot of jobs being created for players, coaches, business staff, you know, referees. The whole industry has grown a lot.
Yeah.
Do you think this has been positive for the sport?
Good things and bad things happen both same time. Before BJ League start, there's no such job. So people are hungry. If you want to be professional player, if you want to be the professional coach, people has to hustle. But now, so many opportunity you can see. But of course, now young player, young coaches has to hustle. They have to be hungry. Mm-hmm. But now there's so many opportunity you can see officially. Before, we don't know which team looking for coach. We don't know which team looking for player. There's always not official before. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious if you could tell me, what are your general impressions of the B League's first six seasons? And has it been successful so far as a league?
Yeah. Yeah, six season, we've been through the COVID 19 problem, but league still running, and there's the final Utsunomiya against Ryukyu at mm-hmm. the Tokyo. The fans are so happy. They see that kind of the full sold out final from the upstairs is so got so emotional.
Mm. Yeah, I thought the crowds were very good for the two mm-hmm. games at Tokyo Metropolitan Gymnasium.
Yeah,
and you know, the fans, both sides, the Golden Kings fans from Okinawa and from across the country, really support their team very enthusiastically, and mm-hmm. the Brex fans from Utsunomiya up yeah. in Tochigi Prefecture, yeah. they always travel, a lot of them, to many road games. And, you know, same thing. They're very spirited.
Yeah. And eventually, the final was both team has historically created by non-corporation basketball team. Both team from the 100% professional club. Mm-hmm. That's the big difference in 6 years, maybe. Mm. First year final was Brex against Kawasaki, which is owned by Toshiba.
Right.
And after first year season, the Albirex Tokyo owned by Toyota against Chiba Jets. Two seasons in row, same final. So.
Exactly. Mm. And then the first year of the COVID pandemic, there was no finals.
Yeah.
And then the Jets returned to the finals last season, two seasons ago now, and defeated the Brex.
Yeah. So if you want to come final, you have to sell ticket and pay more respect to fans.
Well, let me ask you, who do you think are five indispensable top coaches? Five of the five coaches that are best of the best in the B League. And I don't even mind if you can say B1, B2, B3, any team, any coach. Who are five coaches that have to be called top coaches?
I respect all head coach in B1, even B2, sometimes a B3 coach. There's so many young and talented head coach in Japan. They hustle very much. But if you see the B2, there's the Taizo Kawabe, Hiroki Fujita, Yuichi Ishikawa, Yuta Miyanaga, Tomohiro Moriyama. Those are everybody less than 40 years old. And final, Andai Ryuzo got the best head coach of the year. He's only 41 years old. And Onoatsuchi, he lost by final, but he's only 44 years old. If you see Koshigaya Alphas, JR Sakuragi is only 45 years old. So now the game is changed. So most of head coaches are very, very young.
A lot of them started out with their first job in their late 20s as a head coach.
And also you can see that many young coaches who has the professional basketball career.
That's a good thing. Mm-hmm. Build your portfolio, learn from mistakes, make adjustments.
That's why, Edo-san, I always wonder why Japan national team camp, first round camp, maybe not even official camp, just work out, maybe pick up games, something like that. Why don't they invite the Ryuzo, Anzai, or Atsushi Ono, or Oketani Dai, or those kind of young head coach, maybe Kenji Sato from Kawasaki. Why don't they invite them as the they scouting the B League all over the time, 24/7. So why don't they ask the individual what young head coach thinking, young B League players?
You know, one thing I think that could be done is, if the national team coach, Tom Hovas, who led the women's team to a silver medal at the Tokyo Olympics, if he would hold, you know, like very casual, either one-on-one or like a conference call or Zoom or a lunch with a lot of the coaches, like, you know, every...
The fan has to see the picture. Then the fan can see, okay, now that this national team's all together. Doesn't have to be. I don't say that they don't have to be the assistant coach or scouting coach or any kind of position. They don't need. Just join together and see the exchange on idea each other.
Right.
They scouting the game all the time, even Eastern Conference, Western Conference, Central, doesn't matter. They always scout young players. They know how to beat the national team players. They know this player can do this, cannot do that. They know everything.
But their input, their knowledge could be helpful to the national team coaches.
Yeah, and also it has to be open to the public or open to the media. Then people or fans can see, okay, my coach or my team idea is including the national team, then national team fans make it more exciting.
Okay. I like your idea. That's very interesting and progressive, I think.
It's part of performance and respect.
Okay. Moto-san, tell me, who are five Japanese young players who you believe are rising stars that fans should keep an eye on?
Yeah, I like Hayato Yamaguchi, he played Hokkaido last year. This year, he moved to Ibaraki Robots. Mm-hmm. I thought he had a chance to get the Rookie of the Year, but couldn't. I like Yuta Okada. He played Shinshu. He designed Shinshu again. I like Kai Tabes also. He's in the national team camp. I like Sexy Morizane from San Lucas Shibuya. Mm-hmm. But especially, I want to see how he can do next season. Hirohide Araya for Utsunomiya Breaks. Mm-hmm. He's not a superstar on college basketball, but he showed us so many surprises last season. Mm-hmm. He was the young gun to make it to the final.
What do you like about Araya's game? What particular skill set or skills?
Who? Araya. Araya is always ready. He is a rookie, but he is hungry to learn the routine of the rule of the breaks defensively, offensively. Mm-hmm. So I don't see he's under pressure or something. He's always hungry.
That's a good quality.
Yeah. That's why the breaks bench there's so many talent.
Okay. You know, speaking about the breaks, mm-hmm. and we were speaking about Yuta Tabuse about 20 minutes ago. And you know, he had a short career in the NBA with the Phoenix Suns, mm-hmm. but it was important that he became the first Japanese player in the NBA mm-hmm. because every player since then, they look to him as a role model and a hero. So mm-hmm. he's super important for the culture. When you think of Tabuse now in his early 40s, mm-hmm. he still works out extremely hard. He's in great shape. And what did you notice? You were telling me about this earlier, but what did you notice about his the way he was used and contributed during the championship season, mm-hmm. regular season, how he contributed?
Mm. Usually, he played right before the second quarter of the official timeout. I think Anzai Ryuzo head coach is always put Yuta Tabuse on right before the official timeout. I think that's the breaks the routine. When the Yuta Tabuse play the game, he doesn't get that much play time, but one single assist, or one single rebound, one single loose ball floor dive make game change.
Mm-hmm. So you think he energizes and inspires his teammates?
Yeah, that's the big difference. Even though Araya making the surprise, he's a good rebounder too. He's good loose ball recovery, but it's the kind of difference if Yuta Tabuse does this and Araya Hirohide does do that. It's a little bit different.
Yeah. And you know, and the Brex players, if their leader, if their veteran leader is doing the so-called dirty work mm-hmm. or the hustle plays, the other players feel they have to do the same thing.
Because you know, Yuta Tabuse, first NBA Japanese player, floor dive. Who else cannot do that?
Yeah. Okay. Moto-san, let's talk about the Asian spot players.
Okay.
And what it is and what is the impact of it for Japanese B-League basketball, okay?
Yeah. Since two seasons ago, B-League starts to expand the chance to Asian spot player. I want to explain what's the Asian sport player is like. If you want to play as the Asian sport player, you have to be from the five nations, which is China, Korea, Chinese Taipei, Philippines, Indonesia. And you can play the on the court same time with two import player and one Asian sport player.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you have question. Okay, why Moto-san why Jeremy Lin cannot play as the Asian sport player? Because Asian sport player has to be both. I think Jeremy Lin has two passports, maybe Canadian passport and Taiwanese passport. But if you have the two passports, you have to, both passports has to be the five nation: China, Korea, Taiwan, Philippines, Indonesia.
Right, right.
Now, among the Asian import players this past season, in B1 and B2, how many imports were there, and which country had the most imports?
This season, we had a 13 Asian sport players. Most of players from Philippines has 8 players.
Right.
And other Korean, Taiwan, China, Indonesia. A few players left before season finish.
Okay. Do you believe that this is good? This concept of Asian spot players.
Yeah.
Do you believe it's good for basketball development in East Asia? I think it is. I think it's a good concept.
It's very, especially Philippine players, they show us respect and love and culture of basketball. I respect, I had experience to watch the PBA game before, but now I can see the Philippine player in Japan. I feel so many respect to Filipino players. This season, two games, 30 Ravenna, Kifa Ravenna, both players, they cried. I saw their tears in the game after I finished the game.
Yeah.
Those kinds of things.
You're talking about
many energy.
Yeah, you're talking about the two brothers.
Yeah. They show us so many energy to the game. Even though one single regular season game, they don't give up.
I think in addition to the players being motivated when they're here to be, you know, kind of like a national representative back to the Philippines or to Korea or to Taiwan or to China or to Indonesia, the players, especially from the Philippines, from what I've noticed, is they're getting a lot of media coverage each week in their local newspapers.
Yeah.
Every game that, for example, that Sanen Neil Phoenix plays, the results of 30 Ravenna are reported by Philippine newspapers.
Yeah, I think we have to make a better job to announce that those Filipino players doing very good job in Japan to spread that news to the Philippine fans. But same time, I respect those Asian players very much. Example, Wang Weijia from China, he play Akita. Yang Jemin from Korea, he play Shinshu this season. Those players did a fantastic job. But same time, if you see the postseason teams, there's the only two teams using the Asian sport player, which is the Nagoya. They have Ray Parks Jr. and Akita. They have Wang Weijia. The rest of the teams, they don't. Utsunomiya had a Brandon Jawato from Indonesia, but he left before the playoffs. So, rest of the teams, they don't use the Asian sport player. So now, Asian sport player, they give us so many fan energy to the game, but they have to prove that they have ability to make the team take it to the playoff.
Yeah, so this is the early stage of Asian spot players. So in the development of this program, the players need to get better, and maybe the system needs to find maybe some different players even to give jobs to.
True.
We wanted to talk about the Toto sports betting system and the implementation of it for the B League, for basketball betting.
Yeah.
What is this concept, and what details can you share about betting on Toto, and maybe how it is similar to with J League soccer?
Yeah, from new season, we can bet that game of basketball Japanese fan never had that experience before. The money going to be para sports, benefit going to para sports or using the many sports industry. So Toto is totally fine for me. I'm 100% agree with that. The question is, are we ready to do the betting the money to the basketball game right now? Because there's only two professional referees right now. B-League already announced that they are going to sign another several professional referees. But now, even though if you have find out only two professional referees, so one referee has to be the amateur. So if you bet the money, it's a gamble. So the fans going to be changed. They are using the own money to gamble for the game. So the question is, are we ready to start to gamble the basketball in this country?
Yeah, so a couple questions connected to that. What is the limit on one game's one bet for one game? How much can people bet maximum? And is there a minimum bet?
There's no much information yet, but the season going to start October. So we don't know the total can be start from the very opening game or during the season they're going to start. We don't know yet. Mm-hmm. There's an announcement that if you bet $10, you get return $15, like 50% maximum. That's the announcement we know so right now.
The concept, sorry, the operations will be set up so people can buy tickets. Like one gamble, one bet, one game, they can buy those tickets at online and also at convenience stores.
Right. That kind of stuff is going to start from this season.
You know, I don't think that the average fan, the majority of fans will be interested in gambling frequently, but some people, of course, will be interested in doing it, see if they can make money. See if they can be, you know, like a smart, if they think they're very smart and make the right picks.
Yeah.
But you raised a good point about the quality of refereeing and are there enough extra referees that can be hired to make sure that there are three professional referees in every game?
Because according to my interview, I had a conversation with the JFA soccer community, there's the people who making a phone call middle of the night, right after the game, to the referee's home.
What kind of things did they say?
They could, because it's harassment, it's threat. The fans are making phone call to their own referee's home. So my question is, are we ready to protect the referees, officials, those kind of people who needs to do the organize the gambling betting the basketball game?
Yeah, that's an important point. There has to be protection and very, very, you know, detailed rules about how
it's going to be the different world, because the people are using the money to gamble for basketball game. We never have that kind of experience before. So are we ready to protect the referee, officials, the players? Because it's going to be the more harassment to the players by SNS, DM. Mm-hmm.
Do you think there are more benefits or more negative results of having Toto basketball gambling?
The benefit, both things happen. Because, of course, we need the money to run the basketball or bigger. So we need the money. But same time, we have to protect the players, coach,
Absolutely. Already, Moto-san, the new B1, the new structure and the new labeling of the league for 2026 is happening. Mm-hmm. Teams are going to have to prove their business and finance, and you know, their organizational structure meets the standards of B1 for 2026. Mm-hmm. So what are the standards that teams will have to demonstrate that they have in order to be for B1?
So examination start from new season, this season. So if you want to join the new B1 Premier League, you have to make 1.2 billion Japanese yen per year. And you have to get the 4,000 audience per game whole season. Mm-hmm. From next season, it have to be two season in row, you have to make it. So even new B1 going to start 2026, but your challenge is going to start from 2022, which is the next October.
Does the league, in your opinion, does the league need to kind of re-examine all the teams now? Is this necessary?
Because deadline to make it to the new B1 formation going to close the 2024-2025 season. They are going to close. So now we have to make that goal from this season. But I don't know. Same time, business side of basketball growing so fast, which is good. But I want to respect more basketball culture. But business side of basketball is so successful now. But I don't think Japanese basketball culture growing that kind of fast.
You know, there will be 24 teams in B1 next season. When the league started in 2016, there were 18 teams in B1. So the top level is bigger in terms of number of cities and number of players, and I wonder if the business staff how they have grown with the process. So where are they learning the basketball operations from? Are they looking at baseball and soccer or other countries, for example?
Yeah, but I don't really see the problem, the number of teams. I do care about how much people or fans care about basketball culture. The culture beats money, I believe.
Mm-hmm. And you were mentioning that you know, sometimes it's difficult for people to afford tickets.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why, because 1.2 billion Japanese yen, you have to make it. So last two seasons, the team started the ticket price so high. So if you don't see so many kids in arena anymore, because the father cannot buy Saturday, Sunday, both game ticket anymore.
I'd like to see more children at the games. Because the most important fans are the youngest fans. Because when they grow up with the sport, they become fans, they stay fans as adults.
No, that's the Edo-san big problem. Now, the league going to choose a team for new B1, right? The teams now choosing the fans. If you don't have money, you don't have many options.
There's creating so many
gaps between league and teams, and also it's influence to the team. There's a gap between team and fans.
Hmm. So you're talking before about your summer work, and you'll be doing some Japan national team games.
Yeah, it's coming. Yeah.
Yeah. How are you preparing for that? Those broadcasts.
Yes. My game is coming July 13, Asian Cup, Japan against Kazakhstan. There's no much information about Kazakhstan national team, Edo-san. it's a tough work, man.
Well, we've spoken for a good 45 minutes now momentarily, so we're basically like the length of one basketball game minus halftime. You and me. I want to thank you for joining
me. I also want to mention that tough schedule. Since COVID-19, I don't know why that kind of things happen, but we see so many serious injuries, such as the Achilles tendon or ACL. Those kind of not minor injuries, serious injuries that happen this two season. Many players,
yeah,
season ending or career ending injuries happen so many times. So the league has to take the research that is because of the COVID-19. So because cancel game or recovery or player has to be isolation, then suddenly player has to join the team and practice game, that kind of schedule making that kind of a serious injury. Or Wednesday night game, Saturday, Sunday, back-to-back game, making that kind of serious injury. Those kind of stuff, that's a part of the respect basketball culture. If you don't have the good basketball player, you cannot make money.
Moto-san, I agree with your opinion there about you need the good players, you need great players. Do you believe that the team doctors and team trainers are sort of discussing this issue together, maybe sharing their research, sharing ideas that might help with research?
Yeah, I have had many chance to talk with player, interview coaches, says so many national team players I have chance to interview. But most of players so exhausted during the season. They exhausted mentally, physically. So they are not really hungry to play basketball. You can ask Coach Hobart that how much hungry Japan national team camp. It's very, very difficult to make players hungry because they are so exhausted mentally, physically.
Well, the important thing is for them to make adjustments where necessary and to learn from the scheduling, good and the bad, of the last six seasons. Because yeah. I think 60 games is a lot, but look at the NBA. They play 82. So, you know, and
but no much back-to-back game. If you have back-to-back game, it's going to be the news. It's going to special topics for the team and players. So maybe next season, like Coach Popovich does, players going to skip the game sometimes. Because Edo-san, you know, this summer we have the Asian East Asia Super League coming. It's going to be start very soon and going to finish until next year February. From B League, two teams going to be joined EASL, so that both team has to survive regular season and Tennohai, which is the Emperor's Cup, yep, and EASL, three competition same time.
It's starting to look like European soccer. You know, in an upcoming Twitter Spaces program for Sports Talk, I'm planning to interview some of the commissioner or even a couple of the leads, you know, the key executives of the EASL, and I'm looking forward to hearing their vision for basketball in East Asia, how it connects the pro leagues from different countries.
I have so many questions. Yeah.
Yeah. It, really quickly before we go here, did I hear correctly that the Brex and the Golden Kings are both going to play in the first season of the EASL?
I don't know yet. It's not official yet. They are going to announce very soon. But final team, both teams make final, so they deserve it. But I don't know. Because the question is, that it's the honor to play EASL, but the team or player really wants to play that tournament? Because they have to survive Emperor's Cup and B-League and EASL same time.
Well, I still think being a basketball player is one of the great jobs that people can have. I would love to have been a player, but I'm a reporter instead.
so that team said they are okay to sign with a 14 player, 15 players. We don't know yet, but both teams has chance to sign 15 players, even though they lost the EASL first round, or they can lose the Emperor's Cup first round. Then they can still sign 14 player. That's the advantage to the B League.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not equal. But not so many information. So too many questions. ESL and B League and Emperor's Cup. Well, that kind of questions are going to be lose that respect to the tourney or cups or league.
Yeah, it will be interesting to find out the some of the regulations and the scheduling format, and just what kind of interest is there from fans and from media and from sponsors. Do they? You know, the important thing is, will they care?
Yeah, but Edo-san, what do you say? If you have the game on EASL on Wednesday night game, and you have the B-League game Saturday, Sunday night, and if your teams put players on the rest of regular season game, and you are betting the total, what do you say?
Personally, I will not bet on games. That's my personal rule.
Toto make many change because people are betting the money.
So this is an important year coming up for the sport. We're seeing, like you said, big changes with Toto gambling, with the start of the EASL, with the additional referees.
I respect EASL because we need that kind of formation. So I respect EASL, but not much information, so we fans cannot follow that.
Well, we will be talking about it more and more in the I think the autumn and the winter.
Yeah.
So let's wait for some details, and you know, we've got the NBA draft coming up, and we have other things we can follow personally. Yeah. So thanks a lot for coming on the program this week. I really appreciate it. And I value your opinion and your expertise on the sport. I always learn a lot from hearing from you.
I knew too much, so I speak too much.
No, it's good. But we should get going. We're almost an hour. I think people have heard enough for one episode. Thanks a lot for everybody joining us on Twitter Spaces.
Yeah, thank you very much.
This program will be archived on japanforward.com and other podcast platforms, and also on our Sports Look website. So thanks a lot, and have a great evening. Bye-bye.